I'd like to send greetings to everyone listening to this recording. I'm Rob Christie. I'm here this morning with my friend Jim Hamilton. We're similar in age, both past the big 7-0, and both have been involved to various degrees in what's loosely called the personal growth and transformation movement. And from my side of things, Jim easily makes the top five, maybe number one, with respect to the people that I've encountered who I think have something genuine to offer anyone who is seriously committed to their own personal growth and wanting to make meaningful changes in their lives. And our purpose today is to focus on giving you a very good overview of what Jim has to offer. So with that as a starting point, Jim, let's suppose I've heard about you and from someone who was impressed. And I don't know very much about you. And we're on a telephone call. And I'm interested in embracing your work. What would you share with me right at the get-go when we're just getting started?
Where would I start, or where would we start? So first off, of course, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you, Rob. We do such a nice job of communicating and sharing and hopefully having a useful impact on those around us, which of course we do anyway, just by our very nature. I would say that the biggest single thing revolves around a reinterpretation and a new understanding of the importance of our connection with Source. And the reason I say that is if we look around us, everything other than the human beings, all of nature, all of the animals, all the plants, even the mineral kingdom are intact in their connection with Source. And being intact in that connection with Source, all of it operates perfectly. So what we have here is a planet that operates as one sense of nature, one sense of order. And the humans are out of sync with that. And my personal opinion is the humans are dysfunctional as hell because we're out of sync with our natural state of connection with Source. And as we learn how to enable that, personal performance improves, all kinds of things begin to shift. And so that's kind of the foundation for me, is learning to understand about re-enabling our natural state of connection with Source.
Two things I'd like to insert. I imagine most people listening would understand what you mean by Source, but synonyms for Source are God. What other synonyms would you offer for Source?
Well, I use innate intelligence a lot. First off, I use a bunch of terms interchangeably, kind of poetically almost. One of my most, and of course, God, the frequency of God is something I've been using lately. Source, innate intelligence, the divine truth with a capital T.
So all of those are the same thing.
They're all the same thing. And what they all are is a single governance and a single order that everything shares. When I was young, I looked out at the planets, the little I knew of them, the idea of the solar system. I said, there's order out there. So as far out as we can see, as fine as we can see with microscopes and this and that, there's all order. And it seems to me the humans are out of sync with that. But the funny part is this concept about God has been studied since the beginning of time. So there's nothing new about it. It's not like a new idea, but we're looking for new language to explain it to the modern man to understand the importance of this partnership, this blending, if you will.
Most people I know that are involved to varying degrees in personal growth and transformation have been at it for a while. It's not a short journey.
A lifetime.
Yeah, and there are a large number of opportunities out there by various practitioners offering people a way to go. You know, some you might label as spiritual, some psychological. But what I hear you saying very strongly is that if one is pursuing any of a wide variety of these opportunities that don't take into account the necessity for a connection with source, God, whatever word you want to use, they're ultimately going to reach a dead end. Is that a fair statement, sir?
Well, the way I would say it is, first off, anything that's introspective, anything that causes you to start to wander from the beaten path and to explore, all of it counts. There's no any kind of introspection, any kind of wondering how this became that, or contemplating why flowers come up in the springtime and just the order of all things and just that inner exploration. But frankly, mostly what I see out there was developed in the 80s and not much change. Okay, you got med beds now and this and that and things that plug in and new technologies, but to be sure, technologies that plug in that do things to you are not the same as you doing things to yourself. There's a whole introspective world that we have to develop and being broadcast to or programmed by technology, while it might feel good or this or that, there's ultimately we have to learn how to partner with source. That's an inner job. The discovery of the importance of our nature being whole in partnership with the frequency of God. And I'll give you an extreme example, or an example, the Ten Commandments, which go back approximately 2,000 years, maybe 2,500, I don't know the numbers, but the Ten Commandments earlier came from the Book of the Dead, which was Egyptian, and that set of instructions or rules, if you will, go back 8,000 years. So the point is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and that's a real loose interpretation. That teaching goes back in our spirituality to the beginning. And so I notice that as I follow my own nose in seeking out what's true and this importance of our connection with source, I discover it's been taught for 8,000 years. And by the way, the Book of the Dead, which was Egyptian, the older the hieroglyphs, the higher the quality, or the older, the older the hieroglyphs, the higher quality the hieroglyphs were, the carvings and all that. And so the Book of the Dead goes way, way, way back. And of course, Moses was Egyptian, but he's the one where the Ten Commandments came from. So it's an Egyptian lineage that's at least 8,000 years old, that God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's just as foundational then as it is now. And humans without it, we're like apple trees without roots. I just made that up. Hope it works.
Once new student, new client becomes clear that getting in touch with the frequency of God is a key element in what you have to offer, do you steer everyone in the same direction, or is it determined one-on-one based on what the client presents? You know, how does that occur for the newbie on your block?
Ultimately, we want to drive people toward an understanding that their connection with source is their most important endeavor. Everything else pales being on this planet for our 70, 90, 100 years, 150 years. But the way I often start is by identifying that most human beings are in overload. And overload is a product of using the brain to try to process the entire world. Now, my personal opinion is the brain was designed to process the sensing. We sense out with our eyes and we receive information back. We sense out with our ears, we listen, and we, like, I can accentuate my hearing even while I'm talking to you. And I can maybe try to see if I can hear something out this window. And so we sit and our touch and smell and taste. But the funny part is, four of these five major senses have less than an inch pathway into the brain. So my personal belief is that the brain, as a nodule of the nervous system, as a big hunk of neurons and this and that, is actually its primary function is to process sensing. Think about doing a U-turn in four or five lanes of traffic in front of a Walmart and think about curbs and sensing and all the things you have to do at the same time. That's all calculations. That's what the brain's for. But because we're out of guidance, see, we've moved out of guidance. Our natural state of connection with source, by the way, delivers guidance. And when we're out of that natural state of connection with source, the brain has to manually process everything. It was never designed for that. And most of what we think we know about the brain, in my opinion, is not accurate. I believe its primary function is to process sensory information from our five primary senses. And so overload is where we start. And in overload, that's where the mind comes in. The mind, my personal opinion, the mind isn't that fancy of a tool. Maybe that's why for the last 30, 40 years in consciousness work, we've been repeating everything from the 80s. There's not that much new out there. And so what I like to identify is the importance of the mind, the importance of the brain in this quotient of understanding the nature of consciousness and how we learn how to go back to being true to what is true, which is blending with source, being partnered with source, actually even being a host for it expressing through us for what I call the ride of a lifetime. In other words, it's not I going through the world. It's not I going through the universe. It's, again, blended with source is when the whole world opens up. And as we come to learn that, we start stepping into our truest power.
Is it a fair statement or an oversimplification to say that with respect to the most important issues in life, you can't figure it out?
Well, so we can't figure out anything. A great analogy is that, people try to solve problems assuming that getting underneath the problem, the solution will be there. And it just isn't true. Studying problems will only get you more depth of the problem. The solution does not sit, that you don't have a solution with a problem sitting on top of it, protecting the solution like a shell on a nut. It doesn't work that way at all. In fact, solutions are entirely different from problems, and that's what we spend a lot of our time doing, is studying problems. And it's a mass. So what happens is what we focus on expands. And so if we study problems, our focus is studied in the problem, and all we're going to do is learn more about the problem, which has no end, but it has nothing to do with the solution.
So again, I'm hearing that if you aren't receptive to the notion that wisdom comes from source and the quote solution to your life dilemma comes from source, not from figuring out problems, that you're kind of like a hamster on a wheel. If you will.
Yeah, it's quite true. In fact, One of my there's a couple of controversial remarks I have these days, and one of them is I really don't believe in reincarnation. And all of my, my 50 years background in meditation, all the things that I used to study, all the consciousness work I do, all the exploration that I've done, I don't see reincarnation as being real. Ascension, that's different, but I don't see reincarnation as being real, and I'll tell you why. It's because there's no evidence at all the humans really getting any smarter. I mean, we are just as dysfunctional as a species as we've always been. And in fact, we do it on a grander scale than we've ever done. And yeah, the species is working out, the differences, the polarities, and this and that. But I really don't think that. And by the so the reason where that really comes from is I have had a lot of access to presence. And when you move into presence, you realize that the mind version of things just isn't true. And so this mind-taught idea of reincarnation, past lives, and we learn and we grow, and the soul learns and grows. Once you access presence, you realize it's a very different perspective of what's out there beyond what the mind thinks it understands. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of foundational concepts that are simply misunderstood, and the growth of the human species is horrendously slow to the point that while we have always pulled off a solution, and human beings are incredibly resilient. Of course, we are always connected to source, always will be. But to be consciously connected to source is a little bit different. So humans have always made it, but we're on the very edge of not making it. We're at the very edge of toasting our planet altogether. In fact, we're some people would say we're past the point of no return, but that doesn't matter because when you move into a non-linear world, you become partnered with source, exponential multipliers become available. We be partnered with source, you are far more powerful than on your own. In fact, Abraham of Abraham Hicks would say, one person connected to source is more powerful than a million who are not.
Wow. What's the distinction between reincarnation and ascension?
All right. So I believe, first off, the bigger the group of people that believe something, the less likely it's true because it's all mind-based understanding. And the mind is not as I've come to discern and attempt to display, the mind is not anywhere near as fancy of a tool as we think it is. I actually lost the question. If you would just go back to it for me really quick.
Sure. During a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned that ascension is different than reincarnation.
Okay.
And I would like our audience to hear what that distinction is.
Okay. So again, reincarnation, I believe, is a misunderstanding. I think ascension. So first off, okay, I was taught a very long time ago that, like, imagine like a globe or like the Earth, but let's say it's all water. The whole entire surface of the Earth is water. A sphere is all water. And the waves that come up are us expressing, and we go back because what the water is, this volume, is actually the frequency of God or whatever you want. It's the order that everything shares. And think of God as a sphere and the waves as humans coming out of God, if you will, expressing and going back in. And that's kind of the way I see the whole thing. But when you become a wave, you have a possibility when you're as an expression to so to quote unquote reach the brass ring, or maybe through a product of, and don't forget, our bodies are a product of the lineage of our forebears. We are the end result of our DNA. And in a lifetime, as a product of the DNA, we have the possibility of accessing a certain type of knowledge, a certain type of letting go. And it's in that certain type of letting go in a physical body that ascension becomes available. I didn't explain that very well, but the essence is I believe there's more ascension going on this planet than we have any idea, because this planet is of polarity, hot and cold, fast and slow, on and off, in and out. And its polarity is how you work your way up the consciousness scale. And as we become more conscious, we become more allowing. As we become more allowing, we become more blended with source. And as you really achieve the ability to become blended with source, you really step into a type of power is a really a poor word, but you step into a type of blending that you can actually step away as an identity. And that's what ascension is. And I believe that then that whole concept of the universe and all its many dimensions and all of its many components becomes available for exploration, because as a sphere that has all this water and the waves, that's expressing. That's God expressing and going back. And I think the humans are by far the most sophisticated thing that God has created in the sophistication of our nervous system and in our exploration, the potential of ascension, for which we then have an identity, becomes evident and available.